Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Women Making Sense of Sex and Everything Else at 60. Hi, this is Priya Magic. I'm your co-host and I'm here today with Iris. Hello, Iris. Welcome.
Hi. Hi, Priya. Hello, everyone.
Iris and I have been doing this blog talk series for several months now, and we're both in our 60s, and we are here to share with you and to inspire you to step into the wisdom years of your life, which are the years starting, from my perspective, starting at 60. And we're here to inspire you to step into those years with awareness, with consciousness, and with inspiration so you can have a vital life as you grow older. We are having some candid conversations, just like women have, right? This is sort of like girl talk with a transformational edge. And today's episode is about the importance of creating strong bonds of sisterhood and learning how to communicate with each other in ways that support deep and meaningful connection and transformation. So first, I'll say a few things about how that works in my life, and then I'm going to pass the mic to you, Iris. How I started thinking about this whole topic is that I went through two or three breakups in my life with men. I'm heterosexual. And I noticed that the same women were there for me each time I broke up with a guy. And it occurred to me the third time around that I was actually in long-term relationships, long-term committed relationships with these women, because they were the ones who were there for me over time. And I started to ponder what kind of energy and effort I was putting into those relationships. And it wasn't that much, besides the regular talking with each other about the things that were going on in our lives. And I was so appreciative of having these women in my life over time that were there for me to be a support, emotional support, that it occurred to me that I wanted to put more energy, attention, love, care into those relationships with my long-term women friends, the same kind of care and attention that I had been putting into my relationships with men. So that started me on the path to looking at how I was in relationship with women and wanting to change that and improve it, enhance it, up-level it. And so I'm on that path. And that's how I came to this topic. So Iris, I'll pass the mic to you. How did you come to be thinking about this particular topic?
Well, you know, to be honest, for me, it's been a slow process, because if I just go back over my, I had a girlfriend in high school that I was really close with, but I grew up with this program that was passed on to me by my mom, that she was kind of an outsider when she was in school and she never really had any girlfriends. And I kind of internalized that, and it happened, you know, it sort of showed up in the same way for me. So I wasn't highly social. I didn't have a group of girlfriends. I had a couple that, you know, one or two here and there. And that was the truth kind of into my 20s and 30s. I had, you know, a fairly large circle of friends, but they were mostly, I usually perceived them as couples. I didn't have so many like single friends. But then it kind of turned around in my 40s, I would say. I had a particularly one friendship with a woman that was really instrumental and, you know, pretty deep and profound, and we could share a lot, and we were talking about each other's relationships. And it was really only then where I started to, first of all, value my relationships with women friends as much as I would value a relationship with a man, because there were definitely, and you and I talked about this, there was definitely sort of an attitude that, you know, girlfriends, relationships with friends are kind of natural, they're easy, and the assumption that I don't really need to put any particular kind of effort into it. And so, you know, in the past 15 years, I've been part of some women's circle for a while, and that felt really wonderful, too, just to all of a sudden an opening in that area of my life where I felt like, I can actually, you know, really be fed at a very deep level from spending intentional time with women friends and really nurturing those relationships. So that's kind of how I came to it. And I think it's a broad subject. There's many layers to it. You know, definitely our relationships with women are very different from the relationships we have with our sexual partners. And to some extent, it's still a relatively new subject to me that I want to, one of the reasons I wanted to talk about it is just to bring attention to it. And for me personally to have some things to take away and say, okay, you know, I'd like to have more of this. I'd like to have more meaningful relationships with women.
Ah, yes. And certainly you and I have a meaningful relationship. Iris and I have been spending a weekly consistent time with each other talking about the deep issues that we are facing in our lives, and we talk about ideas and issues related to our career and our children. I don't have children, but I have nieces. and this, it kind of reminds me of what I was talking about earlier today, which is that what do we talk about as women? In my life, and I know that for a lot of other women, what we usually talk about is the other relationships that we have. We act as witnesses for each other's lives. We talk about the issues that we have with our children and our mates and other girlfriends. And we act as counsels. What was missing for me as I have been growing older is creating conversations with my close women friends about transformational issues, about growth, conversations that can actually support each other's transformation and empowerment. And so I started adding those kind of conversations into my relationships with women. And some of the things that I was thinking about actually just this morning when I was getting ready for this show is, what makes relationships, what makes them important? And one of the things that I was thinking about is the sense of belonging. And when I personally am in a relationship with a man, because it has that sexual component, that combination of emotional intimacy and sexual intimacy, there is a very strong sense of belonging to someone. And I was reflecting upon my relationships with other women, and I realized that I didn't feel that sense of belonging. And I asked myself, well, why couldn't that happen? And it's especially potent for me because now I'm single by choice, and I've been single for about 2 years now. And I realized how important that sense of belonging is. And especially in this modern culture, that's an issue, specifically for those of us who move around a lot or who are single. So for me, I'm looking at, well, what can I do with my other women friends that create a sense of belonging? And it actually seems easier to do with other single women, because when women are together with men or together with other women, that sense of belonging is taken care of in a couple. And my feeling is that women who are in couples are not so inclined to create belonging with other single women. So it's important for me to start looking at how I can create belonging. And one of the ways that I can create belonging is through being transparent and vulnerable and really honest about what's happening for me and honest about how I want the relationship to be going, honest about what kind of direction I see for a relationship. So that's a really important element for me as I go into this conversation.
I love the term belonging. That feels just so right. And I was thinking, well, where do I feel belonging? Certainly with family or certain members of my family, I feel that belonging, that we're, you know, the sense that we're always going to be connected. And of course, that's what we hope for in a partnership and in a relationship. But why not have, you know, maybe similar conversations with a really good friend and say, you know, it's not necessarily talking about commitment, but like getting a sense how invested the other person is and how much they value this friendship. And, you know, I really don't have those conversations with my girlfriends. But it might be a useful thing to do, just get a sense of, you know, can we actually, because we are the creators of our own relationships, and so we can co-create something with our women friends and say, you know, for instance, I'm imagining I would have that conversation and say, you know, it would really mean a lot to me if I would get, like, some honest feedback from you, if I can come to you and we could talk about things. And, you know, that's what I have with you, Priya, and that's what I appreciate so much. So we have this sort of tacit understanding that you can come to me, I can come to you, and I, for instance, I can say, I just need to unload about this. I mean, this has happened today, and I just can't stand this or whatever. But we have an understanding around that's not all we're doing. You know, we're creating space for the other person to say, you know, this is really happening to me and I'm really not happy about it. I'm all like, I can't figure out why. And then from that, move on to saying, okay, so let's look at this. You know, let's look at this together. Let's see if we can actually move through this together. And that's what imparts the sense of belonging and that somebody else really truly cares.
Yeah, that the word care and the word commitment really sparked some thoughts for me. And when I think about being involved in a romantic relationship, of course, I think about commitment, and that word is talked about a lot. And oftentimes, in certain circles, people think about romantic relationships and their mates as being relationships that are about growth. Right, people supporting each other to grow, and the relationship is kind of a crucible for personal growth because of the issues that come up between people who are committed to each other, who are there for each other. There's no reason why we can't do that with our girlfriends. There's no reason to declare a commitment to someone and to use that commitment as a crucible for growth. And this is not something that many of us women do with each other. We just assume we're going to be there for each other. We actually are committed to each other by that kind of default assumption that we're going to be there, that women are always there for each other. There's a lot of assumptions that we take for granted because we're women. We're oriented towards relationship and connection and emotional support. So we assume a certain kind of commitment. But to bring it into the conscious fore in a relationship and to use that and to make agreements about working through issues with each other can create an amazing depth in the level of relationship that we have, and especially women who are single. Because I think that women who are single miss this the most, right? A lot of women who are single are kind of floating out in the ethers. They might have jobs that are potent, a work team that might be potent, but there isn't necessarily this emotional commitment to another person and a sense of belonging that comes out of that commitment. So that's kind of something that I want to bring out here as a new idea, something that you can actually think about. Not you, Iris, but you're, those of you who are listening.
And, you know, when you were speaking and you were talking about agreement, making an agreement, I think that is so key when you use that word, an agreement around disagreements that we have. Because I think that's the shadow side of relationships with women, that they're, you know, because we assume that it should be easy with a woman friend, when something triggers us, which inevitably it will because we're human, then I've seen in myself and in others that we tend to either like pull back from the relationship and because we don't really want to talk about it or don't know how to talk about it. And then that creates, you know, just a strange discordant energy. And if there was an agreement in place and say, well, you know, whenever you feel this, feel free to come to me and tell me, then that would at least set the stage for you know, actually making it through those awkward times. Just a way to actually be able to talk about it.
Yeah, because that's what we do when we're in romantic partnered relationships or lover relationships. There's something so compelling about what's going on inside that relationship, I think because of the aspect of belonging to that person, that there's an urgency around working through issues. And often in our long-term sisterhood friendships, they flatline because we don't have this urgency around working through issues, coming to each other and saying, hey, this happened. Can we talk about it? Can we repair trust that's broken or whatever we have to repair? And this is a crucial thing to be able to do because this is what keeps relationships alive and lively and transformational and growth-oriented is when we can come to each other and say, this is, you know, what you did had this impact on me, et cetera, the kind of things that we would do with our children and our mates and the kind of things that we actually want to do with our family of origin circle. Sisters, cousins, parents, and that we often don't do there either.
Right.
And so, yeah, this is what, from my perspective and in my life, keeps relationships alive, and it keeps me alive, because to bury things creates little tiny walls in the heart, and then there's separation. And that's what creates an amazing amount of loneliness and a sense of isolation and alienation.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. I, as you know, I was part of a spiritual school organization for a bit over a decade. And one of the ideas we worked with there was the idea of being in good householder. And what that meant is like really taking responsibility, like house cleaning, you know, for relationships. So if I do feel triggered, then it is my responsibility to bring that up and not to expect that the other person would just magically understand, you know, because that can happen sometimes too. It's just that, why doesn't she see that she, you know, she does this every time or whatever the dialogue is, to really take responsibility and say, okay, I am going to take care of this relationship that we have here and I'm going to present what's going on for me. And overcome that fear, because I think that's what it's about in all relationships, and it applies to, you know, relationships with women in the same way. It's this fear of bringing up something that might be difficult. And yet, when I've been able to do that in the past, it's amazing the transformation that can come out of that, where I feel, especially if I feel heard, and I feel, you know, that the other person's reflecting back to me that they get what my trigger was, but that I'm also really taking responsibility for it myself.
Yeah, that's really beautiful, Iris. That thank you. That's really an important kernel of what it takes to create a successful relationship is taking responsibility for your own reactivity and what's going on inside of you. And as you were talking, I was thinking about how naturally we as women are emotionally supportive. Yet when we turn towards men for emotional support in some kind of crazy way, when we are actually more capable of giving each other emotional and psychological support because we understand each other. And we sort of, because of the way we're brought up in the culture, we're easier with that. Because of men's wounding in our culture, it's more difficult for men to actually give the kind of emotional support to women that they really need, yet we still keep reaching for it with our men. And I was just thinking that, can you imagine how incredible it would be for women who are already naturally inclined to support each other if we up-leveled our capacity to support each other by being able to give each other difficult feedback or receive difficult feedback or work through our issues, how much more incredible our relationships would be, because they're already incredible by the nature of us being so similar in the way we process things. Mm-hmm. So if we actually turned to our women friends with the kind of conscious attention that we try to turn towards our men, but often are frustrated, it might be really incredible. I personally have done this, so I know how incredible it can be.
Yes, I must imagine you feel like it takes you away from this assumption that the man should fulfill all possible needs that I have. You know, it's like, give the man a break. He is who he is, and why don't I go to my women friends for certain kind of support and certain kind of understanding and not mm-hmm. expect that one person will fulfill all of my needs. I mean, that would be really liberating to have that in place, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, and it would take so much heat off of men
mm-hmm.
right? Because they wouldn't feel this pressure that they have to be there for us emotionally in ways that maybe they can't.
Right. And that there's nothing wrong with them not being able to. It's just the way it is.
For now it is. Mm-hmm.
Right. For now it is. But you know, what I see is one of the main... what shall I say, the shadow parts of having relationships with women is that we do also tend to just want to gossip, right? I mean, I see that in myself. You know, it's like when you have an issue, whether it's with your partner, girlfriend, somebody at work, what we want to do is have our girlfriend hear the experience we were having, and then it can kind of spiral down into just a sort of a complaining session. And we all know that doesn't feel great in the end. It doesn't feel good. You know, we come out of that and there's I don't feel better. And how to balance that thing that we have as women of wanting to be heard and wanting to unload our baskets. You know, we become full. The first thing we need to do is just like have somebody like help us hold this thing, but to have some discipline around that and not just allow it to go, because I definitely have some relationships where that tends to happen, and it's a real effort for me to pull myself back and say, I don't want to just do that in this relationship, and if that's all it is, then maybe it would be better for me to walk away from it. I mean, there are definitely some relationships with women that can turn out to be toxic, and it's much better to just break up as you would with a man.
I'm thinking it there is a certain kind of discipline that it takes for us as women to go beyond that, just kind of unloading and wanting somebody to witness, and then the constant complaining about how things are, and not take responsibility for growing and changing. It's part of the wounding that we have in our culture, the disempowerment that we have as women. We don't feel empowered to actually change ourselves so that the conversations that we have together with other women don't have that piece in it, don't have the empowerment piece in it. And so it's up to us to learn how to have conversations with each other that support our personal empowerment, that help each other to step into a place of self-authority, see where we're wounded, see where we're constantly complaining, where we're going over the same thing over and over again, and take charge and help each other to take charge. And that's kind of what I'm talking about. And that takes skill. Right, so it's important for us to look at how we communicate and learn new ways to communicate and perhaps join support groups, learn how to support each other for our transformation, and be willing to have the courage to leave relationships that aren't supportive. Right? It takes a lot of courage to leave romantic relationships, and it also takes courage to leave relationships with our women. And I think that's because we just assume that we're always going to be there for each other. Mm-hmm. And there is also this fear that we're not going to be able to make new friends. And I think that we, at least in my life, I noticed that I gather women as friends along the way. It sort of happens, right? Just like the feminine essence is sort of flowing through life, and I kind of gather women as friends, and I don't necessarily make a conscious choice to say to a woman, hey, I want to be your friend because you look like we could be a match in what we value. That's a whole other realm of creating a circle of sisters that is supportive. So making the choice to let go of certain relationships with women, and also looking around and saying, who do I want to be friends with that would be really supportive of my transformation, and making conscious choices in that way. And that is something, I don't know, how are you in that realm? Have you gathered friends just along the way, or have you made more conscious choices?
A little bit of both, I think. I mean, I just remember back, there's two relationships that I consciously broke up. I broke up with the women, and it was so shocking to me at the time. I thought, like, I can't believe I'm breaking up with a woman friend. I just thought, you know, it was going to last forever. And it was, like you said, it was as challenging as it is breaking up with a man, because when you've been with someone in a friendship for a long time, there are many, many aspects that you really enjoy. And then there's these other aspects that start to come in. You start to see certain things. And then it reaches a point where I say, okay, this is not healthy for me. I need to walk away from this. So that experience taught me that, choose your friends well. And then also that it's going to take a conscious effort on my part to not just have it happen kind of organically, although that can be wonderful too. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's probably, like you said, why not, when you meet somebody that you resonate with, to say, wow, I'd like to spend more time with you, and see where that goes. It's just a different mindset, which is really new for me, to be honest. It's really new. I mean, it's been like for you, you kind of, people come into your life and you connect, and then you kind of go from there. But I don't have, other than you, I have only a couple of other women that I have that kind of relationship with. So it doesn't feel like I actually have the need to have more of that come into my life. It would be wonderful if that happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think how we create friendships and relationships is a balance between this natural flow, this kind of what you say organic, that's a beautiful word to describe it, the organic unfolding of connection and the conscious creating of it. There is certainly a balance. And it also depends on personality, because some people are very methodical in their approach to life. They actually go about creating things in a very methodical way, and other people are more organic, more flowing. They just sort of, whatever happens, they get involved and they notice opportunities and they notice opportunities for friendship and they just jump on board. And so there's a balance according to personalities. And I, you know, our friendship, for instance, happened over, it kind of organically grew over time. And it just sort of happened. And then we put more consciousness into it and more effort into it, and it kind of ebbs and flows according to what else is going on in our lives. And but certainly there's an important thing, and that is to name what's going on, right?
Yes.
Because without naming, for me, without naming what's going on, the purpose of naming what's going on is that it creates consciousness and it brings intention to the fore. So, for instance, if weeks go by and we don't have a conversation and I don't name it, I tend to go into my default setting, which is to distance myself. And I think this happens. I see it happening with other people. I hear other people talking about this. And so one of the purposes of naming where the direction or naming the ebbs and flows of relationship is to keep the container of the importance of the relationship alive, so that there's that I'm in relationship with the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because there's three entities in every relationship. There's the two people involved, and then there's the relationship and the purpose of the relationship. And the two people are in relationship to their interpretation of what the relationship is about. So that's part of the housekeeping of relationship that you were talking about before, is mm-hmm. like keeping an eye on what is this relationship about and where is it going and how is it serving each of us as individuals and what do we want to put into it to create it, you know, as an entity that serves both of our needs. That's a whole other level of relationship. That's a sophisticated level of relationship.
Mm-hmm. And so I think so much of it is really centered around our ability to communicate. Right, and you've mentioned that as well. It's like that's so key to learn how to communicate from a place of authenticity and keep that. It's like keeping the channels open in both directions. And I was just thinking, you know, both in terms of offering, being vulnerable, offering honest feedback, but then also being open to receiving honest feedback without becoming defensive, right? Like if my friend comes to me and said, you know, I've kind of noticed this, and usually I know when somebody says something to me and it stings a little, you know, it's like the first reaction might be to say, oh, no, whatever. But that I now know to recognize that, okay, this hurts, and therefore there is a kernel of truth in this, and I could for instance just say I need to take some time with that. Thank you for your observation. I will think about it, and we can talk about it, whatever it is. But to have this openness of things that might be uncomfortable for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really beautiful. And when I was listening to you, I was thinking, what creates the capacity for me to value hearing feedback so that I am open to it and willing to take it in. And one thing that I'm aware of is that when I need to step out of the paradigm of being in competition with other women. And I wanted to bring that in because we, in this culture, we're actually trained to be in competition with each other. Right? And
yeah.
When I step out of competition, I see that every woman really is dealing with the same stuff. We're all dealing with the same stuff. We're in this one culture. We're all wounded in the same way. Even the most successful woman suffers from low self-esteem, right? The most beautiful model still thinks she's not beautiful enough, right? We all suffer from not being good enough in general, in whatever area we don't think we're good enough in, because that's the wounding of women in this culture. We're just not good enough. And we all suffer from our version of it, and our version of a lack of self-confidence, low self-esteem, insecurity, and we project that onto other women. We defend ourselves against other women who might seem better than us. We're afraid that they're going to steal our men, or they're going to show us up, or whatever is going to go on there. And we're really just all women, and we're all incredibly beautiful. And if I step out of that and just remember that we're all here together as women, trying to heal ourselves, trying to open our hearts, trying to connect, then it's easier for me to receive the feedback of other women. Because I know that it comes from a place of wanting to open up the channel for a deeper connection. Right?
Yeah, and I think also realizing for myself that I have blind spots and developing an appreciation for those comments when they're given in, from the heart, and when they're given with care, to just like bear what's uncomfortable and maybe even hurtful, and just say, okay, this is an opportunity for me to see something about myself that I haven't seen. And this could be really, a great opportunity for me to expand my own understanding. And it kind of, the way that I treat it sometimes is like I just look at myself as almost like in the third person and say, okay, interesting, I was just that. Well, kind of take it out of feeling so identified with it in the moment and having a reaction, an instant reaction to it, just say, oh, this is interesting. Let me look at this and let me like observe in my everyday life, do I really do that? And then come back and say, oh, you're actually right. I do that. And thank you for pointing it out. and then all of a sudden I feel more expanded myself. I feel like, oh, maybe I can shift something here or have more awareness and maybe be less judgmental of other people who do the same thing.
That's a beautiful description of a way to go about hearing feedback. That's a really beautiful description. In some way, because it's not really personal. It is personal, but we're all humans having a human experience, and that some of the ways that we are, they're just outfits that we put on, right? We learn how to be those ways, and they're not really who we are at the deepest level. They're just little masks that we put on for the moment to respond in different ways. They're strategies that we use to navigate through life, and they're not really us. So if we can step back from our attachment to those things and step away from seeing those things as, oh, that's who I am, then it's easier to hear feedback that might be illuminating and create changes that might be expanding. You know, like,
yes.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's about 40 minutes. And since today is a Friday and a work day, I know that you, Iris, have to get back to work. Have to get back to your really important corporate job.
Oh, it's just so nice to take a break, though. This is really good conversation. I feel enlivened and energized, and so I'm grateful for that. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you so much, Iris. And for those of you who are more interested in what we've been talking about in the past, you can go onto the archive of this show and listen to the shows from the last 7 months. And I'm really happy that you're listening. And we are producing this show about every 2 weeks. Sometimes we don't make it because life happens and work gets in the way and stuff like that. But we're hoping to be here in 2 weeks at 2 o'clock Pacific time. So tune in next time. And thank you very much, Iris.
Thank you, Priya. And thank you, everyone. And we're always, as always, open to your feedback and suggestions. And, you know, if you have any ideas of topics that we should address, that would be very welcome as well.
Yeah. And if any of you out there are on Facebook, we actually have a Facebook page. It's called Women Making Sense of Sex and Everything Else at 60. So you're welcome to look for us on Facebook and make some posts there or look at what's happening. And we're happy to hear from you. All right. So until next time, thank you, Iris. Bye, everybody.
Bye.